We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We pay our respects to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on the lands which Deep Herd operates.
Welcome back to the Grains Combo podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regional Development in Western Australia. I'm Cindy Webster.
And I'm Jeanette Pratt, and we are research scientists based in regional WA. These episodes shine a spotlight on the knowledge and tools developed by DPIRD to grow the grains industry. In today's episode, I'm talking with DPIRD research scientist Martin Harries and development officer Dana Hutchinson about the West Australian Farming Systems Project. It's a five-year project co-funded by GRDC, which is undertaking farming systems research in the low and medium rainfall areas. Welcome, Dana and Marty.
Thanks, Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette.
So before we dive in, I'd just like to hear a little bit more about you both. Marty, can you give us a little bit of an intro to yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Jeanette. I'm a research agronomist with DPIRD and been working out of the Geraldton office for about 23 years. The main areas of research that I've been involved in include the agronomy of broadleaf crops, so the grain, legumes and canola mainly, and investigating how these species fit into modern cropping systems. My role within the newly funded Farming Systems Project is to coordinate the field research component of the project.
And Dana, how about you?
Thanks, Jeanette. As you mentioned, I'm the development officer for the WA Farming Systems Project and working out of DPIRD Meriden at the moment. And my role is essentially the translation of research to practice and vice versa. So I tend to keep my ear on the ground with the local growers to find out what they're experiencing and what research can be done to address their issues, and also taking the learnings from our research and making them accessible to growers.
So today we're going to talk about the WA Farming Systems Project. Marty, can you tell us a little bit more about what this project's about?
Yeah, so I guess the broad aim of the project is to investigate strategies to increase profit across the rotation while managing weeds, disease and soil fertility at risk. To do that, the project has sort of three main outputs or themes written into it. And the first output is around sowing opportunities. So within this one, we'll look at the opportunities and risks of moving seeding forward and the questions around what crop and pasture species are the best fit for doing this. And the sorts of questions that we'll sort of ask will include sort of what changes in management practice are needed to make earlier seeding more reliable. What are the crops and pastures that will optimise the seeding opportunity and minimise the risk of shifting the seeding window? And how do these changes impact weed, disease, pests and nutrient management? The second output investigates diversity within our current farming systems. So we'll look at break crop options, including things like legumes, oilseed crops, fallow pastures, to see if we can lift paddock performance across the rotation, looking across the 5 years of the project. Here we're really interested in the impact of system break options on weeds, disease and nutrients, and particularly nitrogen and water use efficiency. These are sort of the traditional constraints that are managed through our different rotations. And overall, through this part of the project, we aim to get a better understanding of the influence on rotations on whole farm profitability, sustainability, productivity. Third output looks at greenhouse gas emissions and maintaining profitability under low greenhouse gas emission scenarios. I guess minimising the impact of greenhouse gases on the environment. Climate change risk is an increasingly significant focus of agricultural production systems and climate change policy. So the research activities that we undertake in this project will provide an opportunity to collect some data around that. This will be used to establish a baseline understanding of greenhouse gas emissions in both the environmental and economic context. And in particular, we'll be able to test from our trials whether we can maintain profitability by employing rotations with increased diversity in combination with reduced nitrogen fertiliser.
So there's some great outcomes with the project, Marty. Can you tell us a little bit what some of the activities the project's going to undertake to achieve those outcomes?
Yeah, so as I said, my role in the project is the coordinator of the field research activities. We've been guided through a participative R&D sort of process, which has involved agronomists and consultants in each of the areas that we're doing the trials. And we'll have three regions in which we do some large rotation trials. So the sites are at Northampton, Meriden and Lake Grace. There are quite large trials, about 4 to 7 hectares each in size, and they'll run for 5 years. So these are the three sort of major field sites of the project. The different sites will give us a good contrast between production environments across the WA grain belt, and we've got researchers who are familiar with the farming systems within each of the regions. So we've got Dion Nicol Meriden and we've got Brenda Shackley looking after the Lake Grace site. So while we've got those large rotation trials, we're also aware that we can't answer all the questions within those trials. So we'll have some smaller trials as well at other locations. So, for example, Dana's got a couple of trials this year looking at the effects of safflower on wheat and chickpea on nematode populations. Mark Seymour has a series looking at vetch varieties and the use of vetch as hay or brown manure and the implications of on that in following years. And we've also got some other trials running out of Geraldton looking at nitrogen impacts from pulses grown last year and some species by time of sowing work. On top of the field research, there'll be some bioeconomic modelling, which will build on that field research and enable us to expand the results to a greater number of environments. This will include APSIM modelling to look at yield potential at the sites and also greenhouse gas emissions modelling of the different rotations and inputs that we're using within the trials.
So, Marty, you've mentioned some rotational trials that you're going to be doing. Can you give us a bit more detail about them and what they involve?
Yeah, okay. So the rotation trials are based on some trials that have been running in the eastern states for a few years now, I think about 4 years. They've been quite successful. And so we've sort of looked at those and thought it would be interesting to do some similar sorts of trials in Western Australia. As we've mentioned, that the treatments or the types of things that we're looking at include sowing opportunities. So we've got some sowing time treatments within those trials where we're putting in some summer sown cerradella, or we're looking at timely or dry sown crops. So if it's a late start, we'll dry sow and we'll put short season varieties in. We've also got a delayed sown wheat in there just to see if we can delay the sowing of wheat and control our weeds and have a longer sequence of wheat, monoculture wheat. The rotations include a wide range of rotations. So there's a standard rotation that's being used by the farmers within each of those different regions as a control. We've also got continuous cereal, different break crops. So we've got double breaks, or we've got year in, year out break crops. We've got pastures including cerradella or medic or subclover, depending on which is suitable for each location. We've got some multi-species combinations, some legume cover crops, including vetch. Fallow is in there, and at Meriden, some deep-rooted lucerne as well. So all up, there's about 16 different rotations, and they're four-year rotations, and then about 10 of those are the same across all three sites. So there's quite a good range of different rotations, from the standard things that are being used at the moment and some more sort of interesting or novel ways of trying to diversify the rotation and in particular include more legumes within the rotation. All the rotations are phased, so that means that each part of each rotation is put in each year, so that if we get a dry year or a wet year, we can still do the analysis without too many difficulties. And the other treatment we have in the trials is a few different levels of nitrogen. So across all those rotations, we have the same amount of nitrogen that is being used by the farmers, and we have a lower rate, which is based on a decile 2 yield potential. And so we've gone through that with all the farmers and consultants in each of the regions and decided what nitrogen fertiliser rates we think will be useful. And in addition, at Meriden, Dion's put in a nil nitrogen treatment as well. So he has three levels of nitrogen treatment at Meriden. So they're pretty much the treatments that we're using within those large trials, looking at sowing time, rotations and nitrogen treatments and the interactions between those things.
Dana, we'll move over to you now. One of the components of this project that Marty has mentioned is having participative research and development. Can you tell us what this is and how you've integrated it into the project so far?
Yeah, so participative R&D is about including local ag advisors and farmers in the project planning and activities. So the work remains relevant to those who will use the findings of the research at the end of the project. So we started this in 2022 when the project started, and we undertook a stakeholder engagement process just to confirm our research themes and address any issues that were relevant in each location. We saw input from about 150 growers and advisors through three workshops held across the wheat belt, an online survey as well, and an idea capture session at the final DRDC grower group network meeting, as well as individual discussions with researchers, advisors and growers. The discussions and survey questions focused on growers' rules of thumbs around sowing opportunities for cereals, canola and legumes. Also the summer break options that they tried on different soil types and their constraints and risks. And finally, their understanding of greenhouse gas emissions and their experience in adjusting their businesses to reduce their emissions. So from these conversations, we were able to identify some key themes, knowledge gaps and research areas that were consistent across the region. And we've also set up some regional innovation groups in each of those three regions. They're made up mostly of growers and advisors, and their involvement helps keep the project relevant to the area. So many of the people in the, we call them RIGs, regional innovation groups, they came from the initial engagement session. And this year they helped define the trial treatments. And in the future, we hope that they'll champion the project in the ag community and remain a sounding board for the project in the coming years.
So Dana, you've talked about some of the members of these RIGs and how you've got them on board from your initial consultations, but what about the advisors that you've got in these groups? How did they come to be on board with the project?
Yeah, so as you said, we were pretty lucky with our initial consultations. They were attended by a lot of growers that were really enthusiastic about RD&E, so it was a no-brainer for them to come on board as part of the regional innovation group. But we did need to add a few additional advisors. A lot of the long-term trials conducted at DPIRD are informed by some sort of advisory group. So it's pretty easy in each area to identify some advisors that are really involved actively in this research space and like to be involved in these advisory groups. So we did look to some of those other projects to find people who were keen on joining us. And we also, I spent a lot of time out in the community kind of letting people know about our project. So this has meant that we had a fair few people that simply volunteered to be involved out of interest, which I think is a great sign for the project moving forward.
And Marty, how are the trials going so far this season?
Not too bad, Jeanette. So it's been a bit different between the three sites. So at Meriden and Lake Grace, they had the chance to sow the early sown crops in April. So that was good for those sites. Obviously up north, it's been a bit of a late start up at Northampton. But at the moment, everything's up and going at all the sites and emerged, and the late sown wheat is just coming through. So there's been a fair bit of effort in getting them in the ground because they're quite complex trials. But at the moment, apart from being a bit late in some places, like everybody else is experiencing, they're going sort of as we'd planned.
And what else can we expect from this project from this year?
So for this year, a lot of the work is looking at taking baseline measurements to characterise the soils and the weed populations, the disease populations, so that we can use the models correctly and have a sort of baseline to work from when we do our analysis of what the rotations are doing. We'll see some differences this year in disease, weeds, nitrogen, water use by the end of the year, which will be interesting, but it will take a few years to see the really sort of dramatic, more interesting effects that will come about from the different rotations. Apart from that, we've got the smaller trials that I mentioned that will give us some information more quickly, and we'll start working on the APSIM and the greenhouse gas emission modelling.
Marty and Dana, as we wrap up this Grains Convo podcast, do you have any final messages that you want to give growers and consultants?
I guess I just put in there one of the main reasons for doing these sorts of trials is that in the past few decades, we've seen some major changes in our farming systems across much of the wheat belt. So less pasture, more intensive cropping with fewer legumes and more canola. And this has been a pragmatic decision made by farmers and agronomists to manage their weeds and diseases and nutrition. And in the main, things are being managed quite well, and we've increased our water use efficiency. However, the intensive cropping is increasingly reliant on external inputs of fuel, fertilizer, pesticides, and this means there is a bit more financial risk, and also there's increasing scrutiny about greenhouse gas emissions, which we can't really ignore. So with the range of treatments that we've got in the trials, we have a chance to sort of refine our current farming systems and understand them better. But we also have an opportunity to test some lower input, more diverse systems to see how they go. And specifically, we can look at things like water use efficiency and nitrogen use efficiency and how that changes due to those orchid rotations and nitrogen treatments. And at the end of the day, how that all relates to profit.
So, Dana, do you have any final messages you'd like to add?
Yeah, look, thanks, Jeanette. I just wanted to say that the beauty of this project is that we have trial locations that are quite far between. So we are able to cater to those in each area and really tailor our results. So it's awesome to have so many growers and advisors involved already, but we always encourage more to get in touch with us. We are hoping to host a field walk around August, September time, and we'll continue to do that throughout the years. So keep an eye out for any announcements with WA Farming Systems Project. And if you think that you have anything coming up or arising in your area and you're within the Meriden, Northampton or Lake Grace area, please get in touch with myself or even Martin in Geraldton as well. I'm at Deephead Meriden, so you can just give us a ring and ask for Dana Hutchison. But yeah, it would be great to hear from as many growers and advisors as possible to inform the research. The results are there for you guys. So you might as well tailor the research to what you would like to see come out of it to help the growers.
Thanks, Dana and Marty, for joining us on the Grains Convo podcast.
Thanks, Jeanette.
No worries, Jeanette.
More information on this topic can be found in the show notes. If you like this episode, you can download and subscribe to Grains Convo on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
We'll be back on the 1st and 15th of every month with a new episode. Thanks for listening.